Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's very good to have the opportunity to join in fellowship one more time. You know, the world is changing very fast. And really, the truth be known, I don't know how much more time we really have the ease and the liberty to move about as we have had. You know, these crisis situations that take place, you know, the governments come out with new laws, new rules that often work to encapsulate or bring a populace into a place of tighter restriction. So we're grateful for the opportunity we have. I do believe personally that when it becomes illegal for us to be professing Christians, there will be another order of God.
Amen.
That He will upgrade us to.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see the technology every day, especially in the line of work I do, in working on automobiles. I've been working on cars I've been working on motors. I mean, if it's got a motor, I'll work on it. You know, for the past 25 years, and I have seen the evolution of change. And what's interesting to me is the leaps and bounds, the change has been taking place just in the last 10 years. With the advent of the computer, and that it is being integrated more and more into things that wasn't there before. I mean, your refrigerators have got computers in them now. So I've definitely seen that in the automobile industry, in that the management of the vehicle, the way it runs, the way it operates, it's becoming more integrated with computers. And as they are able to upgrade to these systems, they in turn are removing components and parts and pieces that are obsolete in design. You know, I'll give you an analogy. The traditional design of the automobile is you have your steering wheel for you to be able to input the command to the car for the direction you want the car to go in. And the traditional design is that steering wheel is physically connected to the steering shaft, through the firewall, down to the steering rack or the gear. Everything is physically connected. Well, it's becoming to the point now that there is no more physical connection. Your steering wheel is not physically connected. Some of these new, late model, new cars. The way it is controlled is that there's an electric motor down there on the steering rack that receives an input signal based on the sensor that is in the steering wheel to determine how much to move the wheels in accordance to the movement of the steering wheel. We call it drive-by-wire, is what we call it. It used to be that your throttle pedal was connected physically by a cable to the throttle body. That cable's not there anymore. Again, it's an electric motor. And the transmission of the command is done by electrical current now, impulses, a series of on-off impulses. And I'm saying all this to say that There's this massive upgrade in the natural. Hallelujah. How much more so would it be also in the spiritual? You understand? And now this is carnal man pulling this intel, pulling this knowledge from somewhere and building, you know, these devices. You know, obviously the automobile is very useful in our life, in our ability to, you know, the activity of our lives. And, you know, there's certain benefits that we enjoy. I'm sure you all like your air conditioning in your automobile. Because when it doesn't work, it becomes very apparent it's not working. And there's a certain level of discomfort in all of that. You know, so we have this, you have this, this knowledge that is being implemented. And, you know, so that means there's a counterpart, spiritually speaking, that is available for the people of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, that is the thing that, you know, we want to tap into. That is the thing that we want to be integrated into. And it's not so much something that you know suddenly one day you're going to wake up and you're going to have some higher sense of knowledge or the know-how to do something different than what you've done before. What is required is a change on our part in order to receive the upgrade. Hallelujah. In other words, you're not going to be able to, it stands to reason, you know. You know, the thing that was built yesterday, it's obsolete in that it's incompatible with the thing that is built today. Hallelujah. And so there's a necessity that, if you want to do an upgrade, there's a certain amount of getting rid of those things that are incompatible. Hallelujah. You know, so what we have then is we have different colors. I thought there was some blue. It's no matter. You know, Brother Tomas was talking about faith, and you know, it's a word we throw around a lot. And there's a certain measure of faith that each of us has stepped out in. But there's also, for every step of faith, there's another step. Hallelujah. And there's a scripture in Hebrews that says that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? I think it's Hebrews 11:1.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But if you go on down a few more verses, it says that, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord brings us through certain trials and tribulations in our lives for the express purpose that we might add faith to faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And what happened yesterday, in some sense, becomes obsolete in that that amount of faith is no longer sufficient for what is happening today.
Amen.
And so there's a necessity that that we submit to the circumstance that in turn creates the opportunity to God for God to increase our faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the thing is, without faith is impossible. You know, one day here recently, I was reading that scripture, and it, one of those moments where something you've read 100 times, and it really jumps out at you, and it rings a bell, and it really becomes something of a direct word that God is underscoring, highlighting, in very bold terms, as a word personally for you. Hallelujah. You know, and no matter how many ways you cut it, impossible simply means impossible. Hallelujah. So no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you analyze it, how you try to argue it or convince God on the other part, otherwise, it's simply impossible. Hallelujah. So you really come to a kind of fork in the road, so to speak. It's either you acknowledge the word that God is bringing to you and begin to step out in faith, hallelujah, in that particular circumstance and commit yourself to God and to see whether or not, to see what it is that God will do, or you pull back, hallelujah, and you really miss the blessing altogether. And it really, there's a kind of stagnant situation that begins to be created. Hallelujah. And of course, you know what stagnation is. It's a stunted stunted development. Hallelujah. There's no particular activity progressing forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and for me personally, in that given situation in time, as I begin to do what it is that I felt like the Lord was asking us to do, you know, something was given to me. You know, sometimes the Lord just gives it to you in little bits and pieces. You know, just sufficient to make that one initial step, right? And there, as you make that step, there's an expansion with respect to this thing called faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That boosts the inner man with the strength to make yet another step, this time a little stronger, a little more bolder, a little more with confidence. Not confidence in that I'm anything, but confidence that God is able, hallelujah, to be God as He wants to be God. Hallelujah. You know, and the truth of the matter is, if we want to know where God is, He's just there on the other side of that circumstance that He's asking you to step out in faith. Hallelujah. Many times we go to God and we say, oh God, we want to do this, or this needs to be done, this needs to be done. But we have some sort of expectation that He would show us some sort of evidence first.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes. Amen.
And then when we have the evidence, we'll step out and do what it is that needs to be done. When all the while, God is waiting for you to step out so that He can give you the evidence. Amen. Right? Faith is the substance of things for, hope, right?
Hope.
Things hoped for.
The evidence.
Hallelujah. Then becomes the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there's a... if we want to talk about a particular upgrade that's available to us, I think it is the ability to tap into a higher level of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, take a simple word, for instance. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. I'm not quoting the scripture exactly, right? For sufficient is the evil of the day. The evil thereof. Hallelujah. He said, look at the sparrow, who neither toils nor labors, and yet your heavenly Father has provided the sustenance for that creation, right? Hallelujah. How much more so is it in God's best interest to provide for you and I all of the substance that we need for today, for tomorrow, for the next week, right? Hallelujah. And yet we spend so much time and energy planning out our lives in respect to that substance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's another level, hallelujah, wherein we can begin to relinquish to God and begin to trust Him with respect that He is able to provide for us in the capacity that is beyond what we think is possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we, the Lord recently relocated us to Texas, and you know, I can tell you a whole story in the way He moved so miraculously to get us from one location to another. But that was just the beginning, you understand. And in the process of you know, the transition and re-entering society, so to speak. I mean, we're talking about going from some place you know, people you know, contacts that you have, you know, there's a certain life that you've developed in a certain area, right? To going and relocating to a different place where you know nobody. Mm-hmm. All of your business contacts, they're not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you're starting all over, so to speak, right? Hallelujah. And there was a period that as I was working for a particular company, you know, the Lord began to speak to us about stepping out in faith, right? Mm. Now, the truth of the matter is that the obligations of our lives didn't get put on hold just because we exited one arena, you understand. When you go to work for somebody, there's a certain measure of substance that is coming from that circumstance that is, you know, somewhat guaranteed, right? Mm-hmm. Every week there's something you can put in the bank, and, you know, based on what you can put in the bank, you can do this, this, and this, and this, as far as your obligations in the house and home are concerned. Hallelujah. But then the Lord is saying to extradite yourself from out of that situation and into nothing. Or at least from a human perspective, right? Hallelujah. Because there was nothing on the horizon. Remember, we have been relocated to an environment that we know nobody. And nobody knows us, right? Hallelujah. But, you know, the marvelous thing is that as you begin to make that initial step, I don't know how He did it. I don't know how He's going to do it. You understand? Because tomorrow's a new day, and it's different from today. Hallelujah. But the truth is as we have made that step, hallelujah, He has made up the difference. Hallelujah. Every month made up the difference, not only to do what needed to be done as far as our obligations, but then above and beyond.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's a certain liberty, and there's a certain freedom that is created
inside with respect to who and what God is. And the intended purpose that He has for our lives. Hallelujah. So God is, it seems like He's always just over the next hill. Hallelujah. He's always another step in front of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And His desire is that you will come up a little bit higher with respect to where He is at that given time, that given place. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's I really didn't expect to get up here and talk about faith in particular. You know, there's a certain theme that I have been meditating on over the last 6 months or so, and maybe we'll get there. Hallelujah. We talked a little bit about it when we were here in was it November? Talking about the church. Hallelujah. But there's a if you look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you know, it says, by faith, Abraham did thus and thus and that. By faith, Noah did this and this and that. And on down that record, that account, hallelujah. And I noticed that there was something very special in particular that God gave to each individual to do. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if that is what He did then, and He's the same yesterday as He is today, and He will be tomorrow, then it would seem to me that there's something that He wants to give to you and I that is particular, special to you and I, right? As individuals. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That works in conjunction with this thing called faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And one of the overall things that is available yet to be done, that hasn't been done, is the fulfillment of God's desire to bring forth a body. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In fact, the whole intent of the history of the Bible is for that express purpose, to demonstrate that what has been in God's heart from the beginning is to bring forth this multi-membered body. Right? He's brought forth a lot of bodies. You know, what's present here is a lot of individual bodies. But those bodies have never come to a place of perfect harmony and continuity as it is that God has in His heart to implement. Hallelujah. It goes back to the technology. Hallelujah. That whole automobile, all you see is the shape and the shell and the wheels and, you know, the of the exterior, and then the creature comforts of the interior, right? What you don't see is all of the different parts and pieces and components that make that automobile into what it is. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And the fact that all of those parts and pieces work together. Hallelujah. You know, there can be up to 20, 30 computers in one car. Because each computer is given a different designation and a different area of the car by which to manage. Hallelujah. And what's mind-boggling is that those computers, they are somewhat autonomous in the fact of that particular area they manage, but yet they have to communicate with each other. Hallelujah. So that there is a harmonious transmission of data and a harmonious movement of the car. You understand? There's a computer that manages the motor. There's a computer that manages the transmission. in order to get you that seamless shift, you know, an automatic, to give you that seamless shift from 0 to 60 or wherever fast you want to go, you know, it has to shift through each gear, but do it in such a way you don't really know that it's being done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yet, there's a communication between those modules that gets the job done. Hallelujah. But, you know, being a man-made device, there's a weak point somewhere. There's some piece or part that fails and goes haywire and gives strange data in the car. It becomes evident, right? The car begins to behave and do things that are funny. Hallelujah. And you go see your mechanic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just taking that simple natural analogy, imagine what it would be like when the body comes to the same level of continuity and communicative capacity.
Hallelujah.
And be able to function fluidly and smoothly the task that is given to it. Right? Hallelujah. Tomas gave us a simple example. He on one end has a particular burden for a particular individual, and as he begins to move in that certain capacity, right? Give expression to it. Hallelujah. You know, that's the thing about God. He wants an avenue by which to be expressed. Do you ever think about that? He wants an avenue by which he can be expressed.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. That's why he puts you in these impossible situations. Hallelujah. We were having a sort of discussion here one Sunday recently, and we were talking about prayer, and it came to me that prayer really is simply giving God the opportunity to talk to you, to express himself in a certain circumstance or situation. Hallelujah. So, you know, Brother Tomas, there's a certain burden, and yet, way over here, somebody he didn't really particular know, right, was moving in conjunction,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
In the same line of communication by the Spirit, that was getting the job done.
Hallelujah.
Was executing the heart and the desire of God. Hallelujah. Now let's put that on a massive scale. Hallelujah. You know, I was running on the treadmill this morning. You know, you don't really ever think about it, at least I don't, what is happening inside your body so lightning fast in communication, in commands to keep your legs and everything going. You know, it's not just moving your legs, it's maintaining a balance, correct? Your heart rate goes up. There are so many different things that are transpiring at the same time on so many different levels.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it boggles my mind, my natural mind, to even be able to comprehend all of that. But what it does do is gives me some sort of insight and even more some sort of appetite and hope to see something in with respect to the body of Christ being brought together in that manifestation capacity. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, there's certain prerequisites. That was one of those words from when we were here, was it prerequisites?
Yeah.
There are certain prerequisites, because there's a lot of the term body of Christ, it has been sort of washed out. And they're and thrown around, and that it can be easy for one to make the assumption that everybody is part of the body of Christ just because they're born again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And this is where the intent, or this is where the need for the apostolic vision and the apostolic word comes into play. Because the apostolic word that God has sent, hallelujah, becomes the reference point that we can go back and refer to when we encounter something that doesn't quite sound right. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a prerequisite with respect to the body of Christ, how to get into the body of Christ, what makes the body of Christ, right? Hallelujah. And of course that prerequisite is found in nothing less than the tabernacle. I don't know if we had a clear one. Maybe not. It's okay. We can do another one, right? You don't know what I'm going to draw, right? Is it not bright enough? Oh, there's a green. Is that a green? Yeah, I like that better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the way, this is your roadmap to your destination. There's a scripture in Psalms 132. Psalm 132 and verse
7.
Yes, sir. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. Verse 13. This is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if we consider Zion, it was that geographically, historically, it was that particular section inside of Jerusalem, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And of course, Jerusalem was within Israel. Hallelujah. Of course, it's referred to as the Hill of Zion. So it seems to me that it was somewhat elevated. It is. Okay, very good. Hallelujah. So there's a certain exertion.
It's the highest point.
It's the highest point. Very good. Well, that makes proper sense. Hallelujah. Being elevated, it would require what? Some exertion in order to go up, right? It's always sing a song, let us go up to Zion. Let us go up to Zion. And then there's another one that says, oh, let us climb the hills of Zion. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there's a certain exertion that is required if you want to reach the top. And I don't know if you've ever been to some real mountains. Hallelujah. And you wanted to get to the top that was accessible.
Oh,
Hallelujah. There's an exertion, right? There's a determination. There's an expending of your energy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we, you know, we can put this as, we can mark this off as Zion, right? And this would be Jerusalem, and this would be Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Zion, as it's referred to, as God refers to it, is God's hope for the world. It is God's hope for the world in terms of saved salvation. Right? Hallelujah. Brother Bert was talking about I think it was here. Right? Talking about really two different destinies. That man hangs in the balance between one or the other, and that there's a choice that is made somewhere along in his life with respect to which destiny. Hallelujah. So this becomes our destination point. You know, it's just like a road trip, right? You're gonna go on a road trip. You're gonna go someplace you've never been before. What do you do to prepare? You get a map, and you begin to study the map so that you might know that particular route, the best route, so that you might get to your destination
before it gets dark.
In peace. Thank you. That was the thing I was looking for. Hallelujah. You want to get there. Now, you can look at the map and you can get some sort of general idea. But it's once you get out on the road, everything changes. Because now you're transversing through country and territory that you're not familiar with. Right? Now, when you're out there in the open country, it's fairly easy to stay the course. You're on the right highway. The sign confirms that. But then you come to the intersection of highway as it goes through a city. And there's that spaghetti mess of highways and interstates that loop around each other. And all of a sudden there becomes all of these different options and choices. And traffic is moving at a certain speed and they're probably crowded. So if you see your road or your turn that you need to be taking, and you're way over here in the left-hand lane, or maybe it's the opposite for you guys, hallelujah, and there's all this traffic, all of a sudden there's not the opportunity, right, to make that right turn, so you got to go up here a ways, turn around, and to make sure you stay your course. Hallelujah. That is our... This is our roadmap. So there's a necessity to what?
Stay
the course. There's a necessity to study.
Yes, yes.
Study the roadmap. Amen. So that we can ensure that we stay the course.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because, you know, do you think the devil, once you've made it inside, right? This is a place of safety, wouldn't you say? In a sense, from the world.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole, that was part of the intent of the perimeter of the outer core. It was to create a separation. It was to create a separation to keep that which was outside, outside, and to keep that which was inside, to preserve it. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. From that which was outside. Hallelujah. Do you think that just making it inside here is sufficient?
No.
Hallelujah.
Because there's a law, there's a rule or law when it comes to the engagement of warfare. Right? And that rule is that to the increase of power that God gives to His people, God also must give the devil the equal right to increase his power.
That is right.
Huh? Hallelujah. And the devil's power with respect to the church is deception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if as we desire to advance with respect to God's program, the devil has the equal right to advance with his program, only to do it in such a way that he might deceive you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Because he does not want you to reach that destination. Hallelujah. So it behooves us, the more we study and get to know the principle for which God has implemented in his program that he has laid out for us. Hallelujah. And it's just not knowledge. Not just knowledge. Right? Because there's in I think it's Hebrews chapter 4. He says let's see if we can find that here. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore, verse 1, fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Right? Come short. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, have you ever considered that particular scripture verse? Now, who is them? Who is he talking about? The Israel of old, right? Did you see that? Did you see what it said? The same word was preached to them that is being preached to us.
Amen.
But it didn't profit them because they did not mix it with faith. You know what that tells me? I can do and make the same mistake that Israel made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But my heart and my desire is that I not make the same mistake, and that by the admonishment of the mistake that Israel made, I might learn not to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not being mixed with faith. Right? Hallelujah. So there's a certain word of knowledge that's available to us, that has been given to us with respect to the apostolic word and the apostolic vision, but all of that knowledge is just knowledge until we begin to mix it with faith and the knowledge becomes a certain level of reality.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. What is it that God is doing in my life today that will reveal something new that I didn't know before? Or that he will demonstrate his capacity to be God in some area, some way that I have not seen before. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to go on. Is it Hebrews 6 or am I getting the wrong book? Let us go on to perfection.
Yeah.
I seem to be in Hebrews today, this afternoon. Hallelujah. Let us go on to what? Perfection.
Perfection.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance, works, doctrines of baptism, so on and so forth. Faith towards God, right? Hallelujah. Let us go on to perfection. Hallelujah. There's a certain thrust or emphasis in the Spirit with respect to technology that God wants to implement into His people. Hallelujah. Now, the thing is that God is looking for that remnant. Now, here again, touching this morning, the ecclesia, which is in reference to the whole church as those that are genuinely born again, right? And out of the ecclesia is the electos, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is the electos. Now, it's very simple to define what qualifies anybody in the ecclesia to become one of the electos. Hallelujah. You can go to the story of Gideon.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a very simple explanation. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about it. I often think about it. This Bible, it's a history book.
That's right.
You know, it's a living book, but it's also a history book.
That's right.
And here it is, real individuals, just like you and I, living their lives in their given time frame, with their given set of circumstances, and that given set of technology that was available, right? And they acted out. They were pantomimes of God. They acted out the story of God, or God's plan, God's blueprint. They acted it out in the fabric of their lives. Hallelujah. And God preserved that historical information. Hallelujah. And this is where it becomes living. Hallelujah. Is in the fact that as God preserved it, it was God that was in them, with them. Hallelujah. So if they were pantomimes, what do you think He's doing today? He's doing the same, isn't it? Hallelujah. Because He hasn't reached that objective with respect to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So getting back to Gideon, and him, his situation demonstrates what qualifies who can be part of the elect, right? And it came down to the drinking of the water. Hallelujah. You know, there's a reason we rehearse these things. Because it takes a long time for the word spoken
to become flesh.
To work its way through the hearing of our ear, through all of the layers of other things, rather, and begin to sink down into the heart. Hallelujah. That's why we rehearse these things. Hallelujah. So you have Gideon, and God said, bring them down to the water. I'm going to try them. Hallelujah. I like this. Because the instructions were not conceived out of the Gideon's mind. Weren't conceived out of the knowledge of warfare or experience. It was a direct word from God given to Gideon as simple instructions, right? Hallelujah. Bring them down to the water and let them drink. And of course, the separation that was created was on the basis of how they drank the water. You see, they all drank the water.
Yes.
But the difference was in how they drank the water.
Yes,
right? Hallelujah. Amen. There were those that drank it to satisfy their own thirst, and were not conscious at that given moment to the fact of why they were there, nor were they conscious of their brethren Or, you know, because when a man is inducted into the army, they break them down of their individuality and bring them to a place where they become brothers. You know, they do that. They break down their individuality to the place where they become brothers. And they employ biblical principles to the point that one man will throw himself on the grenade in order to protect his brothers. Right? Hallelujah. But what you have is in the how of the drinking of that water, there were those that were drinking it without any respect to what was happening around them. Right? Hallelujah. But those that did drink it, they drank it with a certain consciousness.
Oh, yes, that's the one.
Hallelujah. There was a certain method, and of course the Bible preserved, recorded just exactly what that method was. Right? Hallelujah. What was the method? They got out their army issue 10 cup. Right? They prepared it, and they filled it with water. Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. Hallelujah. What did they do? They lapped it. How did they lap it? They knelt down. Sorry. They knelt down. You know, there's a certain awareness, right? They're on their knees. Isn't it interesting that, you know, prayer is often associated with being on your knees? Hallelujah.
Amen.
They use their what?
Hand.
Their hand to bring the water to them. Right? What is the hand?
Ministry.
What is the hand? What is the hand to you? It ministers to your body, doesn't it? What is the hand to God? The means of ministry that He has appointed to what? To His own body. Hallelujah. You see, there's a particular ministry that God has ordained, has set in the midst, that through the ministry becomes the what is the scripture says, husband love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
That is my sanctified by the washing of the water.
Sanctified what? By the washing water of the word. Hallelujah. So there you have it. The water is indicative of the Word of God. The appropriating of the water or the drinking of the water is done through the motion and the action of the hand. So the qualifying factor for the 300 to Gideon was those that how they drank the water, right? How they relate to the Word. Hallelujah. So if we want to be part of the electos, it's how are we handling the word.
Oh, yes.
How are we handling that particular word that God has given to us? Mm-hmm. Now the thing about the ministry, the job, the position, the operation is temporary.
Yes.
Come on. It's temporary. It's simply a means to an end. There's just a particular special unction anointing that He has given to the function of the hand to do a certain task until.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Because true ministry is in the whole operation of the body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because my hand can't do what my feet are designed to do. But there's a certain position where I can minister to my foot. Right? To get the foot prepared to do what the foot needs to do. Right? Hallelujah. You know, you get up and you need to go from A to B, and you put on your socks,
you put on your shoes. How do you put them on?
Your hands.
Your hands, right? Your fingers tie the string. The shoelaces tie the knot. Secure the shoe to the foot.
Mm.
Now the foot takes over and is prepared to move you from where you need to go to where you need to be. Alleluia. So the true ministry lies in the function of the whole body. Alleluia. That's what it says in Ephesians, right? Alleluia. And God gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, until we all come into the unity of the faith. Alleluia. And that is the expression of the whole of the sanctuary in of itself. The sanctuary of itself is symbolic of the body of Christ. Alleluia. But when we look at the sanctuary, we find that it's composed of different parts and pieces that are assembled in a certain way. Alleluia. Made of certain materials. Alleluia. To bring, and when they are put together, it gives us a certain picture. Alleluia. Can I say pattern?
Yes.
Gives us a certain pattern?
Yes.
Now, what was the admonishment that God gave Moses
when
See that thou build it according to the pattern that was shown thee in the mount. Alleluia. Do you think that admonishment was just to Moses? Or do you think that still stands in effect?
Yes.
Right? Alleluia. Absolutely. So if this is our pattern, and it is built in a certain way, in a certain fashion, and it exemplifies certain principles and prerequisites as laid down by God, that means we have to conform to it, and it not be conformed to us. Alleluia. Alleluia. You know, because there's a...
Alleluia.
We have to conform to it.
Yes.
Alleluia. And you know, and that's exactly when the devil gets into this business, there's that, what do you call it? changing things. Right? For instance, There's a thought or an idea that all you need is love. The love of God.
Right.
You know what? I agree with it. Because the love of God is principle. Right? Get in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. However, alleluia. When one makes that statement, they fail to realize, or they haven't... They haven't come to realize where that love of God is when you look at the tabernacle.
That's right.
Alleluia. And you want to know where it is? Alleluia. Back here on the two back corners are two additional boards. One of them is representative of Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. The second one is representative of the sons of God, the two witness company, the overcomers, right? And those boards are secured with golden
rings.
Golden rings. Hallelujah. And of course, the golden ring is talking about the love of God. Hallelujah. But do you realize where it is? Do you realize where it is? It's at the highest point, so in order to access it, or in order to reach the full potential of what the love of God is, there is a prerequisite that we must transverse through outer core, transverse through the holy place, and become something, a part of what is happening in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can't leave out, that thought, oh, we just need the love of God. It's a thought to think they've found a shortcut. Hallelujah. But if we really study our map, if we really investigate the prerequisite of what is required, hallelujah, we begin to realize there's something more that is required of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we want to go on to perfection, right? And we want to go on perfection. You know, Esther is a... I got there.
Yes, you did.
Esther is such a... another one of those stories. That's more than just a story.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The life of Esther. You know, it dawned on me that in Esther, there's something in Esther that demonstrates a pattern that is available for us that we can become likewise in principle as she did with respect to her circumstance, her situation. Right? Hallelujah. Now, you look at the overall objective in the life of Esther, is God needed somebody to be in a position of authority, right? And access to the principal authority.
Amen.
Right? Because God knew that there was coming a destruction. I'm looking for a
annihilation.
An annihilation, what would you call it? An eradication. Come on. Of a whole race. Had he done what he was going to do, how do you think it would have upset the rest of the history that followed thereon after? Would there have been a Joseph? Would there have been a Mary? Huh? Hallelujah. So God knew that there was something working on the part of the devil in the heart of this man, Haman, that was going to come to a pinnacle, come to a place of fruition. Hallelujah. Unless there was somebody to stop him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now God could have stopped him. Can he not? Can he not intervene? But do you see the pattern of God? Where God works is not independent in of himself, but he works dependent through the lives of those that commit to him.
Amen.
And allow him to work through them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Esther is that kind of situation. Is that there was a certain position, a certain place that this an individual needed to come to. Now, as you can see, there was a due order. There was a due process. She couldn't just be plucked off from the street, so to speak, down there on the level of the common people, if I can use that term. She couldn't just be plucked and then placed into this position of great responsibility. There was a certain preparation, right? Hallelujah. A certain sanctification that needed to transpire, hallelujah, to bring you to a certain place of consecration. Hallelujah. Because all of the preparation and all of the sanctification was working to bring her to the express purpose of consecration to go in and see the King. And what was her statement? She said, if I perish, I perish, but I am going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's, you know, you can find what happened in respect of her life. You can find it right here with respect to what this operation of holy place is and the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have here at the sanctuary thing called the door, right? Of course, Jesus said, Jesus said, I am the door. You know what he did? He upgraded. He upgraded the reality of the door from the Old Testament understanding to a New Testament understanding. In the Old Testament, it was simply a point of entry. It was simply an access to get from one level of the tabernacle to the next. But when Jesus said, I am the door, he changed the whole parameters in the aspect that Jesus is a person. And that person has a personality. So what happened is that this went from an inanimate point of access to a personality.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And the personality became the prerequisite of the door.
That's right.
Right?
Hallelujah.
So in other words, if I want to go through the door, there must be a change in me that makes my personality compatible with his personality as he is the door.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But you know, there was something else that happened when he became the door. Jesus is the door, but he also became the head.
Do
you ever think about that? The man named Yeshua,
yes,
the son of Mary,
yes,
right? He went from the natural man that he was by death, burial, then resurrection, and became a head as appointed by God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
A head for the body that is yet to come.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So this personality being found in Jesus, this personality is embodied in him as the head. So that means, as I desire to go through the door and I allow God to do that significant change in me, to create within me a personality that is compatible with him, that personality will begin to reflect whatever part or piece of the body that he wants to make me. Hallelujah. I become an entity that's compatible with his entity, and there can be a bi-directional communication that can be established.
Amen.
Going back to the analogy of the automobile. One computer talks to the other computer and vice versa. They have a bi-directional conversation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's a personality, but you know, there's five pillars set in the midst of the door. He could have made that door without the pillars. I mean, he said, I am the door, right? Maybe that would have been sufficient, but you see something in the design of God, in that he He adds sort of layers. Right? Hallelujah. There's five pillars set in the midst of the door. Now, the pillars are made out of wood. And they're covered over in gold. So we know that the pillars, if it's wood, it's talking about humanity, right? It's talking about God using human framework to accomplish His will. Hallelujah. Now we can look at this and see on one dimension that five is the number of ministry, right? So there's a reference that there's a operation of God that He moves through His ministry to help you and I get through the door. Right? Hallelujah. So you have wood, you have gold. Of course, you don't see the wood, right? You see the gold. Because the operation of God in man, hallelujah, it's not man that is working, but it's God working through man. Yes. So what you receive from the man is not the man, but you receive God. Yes. Hallelujah. Because God wants to bring forth the likeness of Himself. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. But these pillars are set in sockets of... Help me.
Brass.
Brass. Right? Now, this is one of the last of the two places you see brass as you exit the outer court and enter the holy place. Right? Brass. Hallelujah. It's brass. Judgment, isn't it? So there's this, can I say, a kind of threshold across the door that if you cross, as you cross the threshold, you're then subject to the principle that brass represents. There's a certain measure of judgment. Right? Hallelujah. You know, I was in a meeting here recently and we were talking about these things and someone pointed out that, so are there five different judgments? And it was a very good question. And it caused me to think, you know, this is body ministry, right? Hallelujah. Because indeed, there are five separate sockets of brass for five separate pillars. Hallelujah. And there's a thought that I have. Hallelujah. If you go into Isaiah 14 and you look at the intent of the devil, you know, the devil made a statement as to what he's going to do. Right? What did he say? Let us read it.
And there were five will I will.
It's Isaiah 14, right? Verse 13. 13 is a number of rebellion, by the way. So this is his manifesto. This is his, we call it the Declaration of Independence. I don't know what England calls their...
Mission statement.
Mission statement.
Worldview.
It's more like the structure of his operation, right? He's very organized. Hallelujah. He said, verse 13, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." This is where he's going, right? So he's giving you a destination. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Right? "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Does that sound like a familiar statement?
Yes.
The sides of the north?
Is Mount Zion.
Mount Zion, right? Beautiful for situation.
The joy of
the whole earth is what?
Mount
Zion.
On the sides of the north.
On
the city of the great king.
Of whose? City of the great king. Right? Now, who is this?
He cannot make it.
Who is this? He's making a statement. He's making a declaration of, can I say war? Hallelujah. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like what?
Oh my God.
I will be like the Most High. How many times did he say I will? Did you count them?
Yes, I counted them.
He said it five times. Hallelujah. Can I go a step further? How many senses do you have?
Five senses.
You have five senses, right? You have what? You have seeing. You have smelling.
Touch.
Hearing.
Touch.
And tasting. Right? Those are five senses of discernment. Hallelujah. That you have. That God gave you. Correct?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, there's an upgrade that God wants to give us to keep intact the ability to discern, but to discern correctly.
Right?
Hallelujah. So why do you think there are five sockets of brass here in the midst of the door?
Judges them.
To judge the senses, but to enhance the senses so that they become senses that sense correctly and accurately, right? Hallelujah. Brother George, didn't you have a dream? Teach my people how to what? How to discern. Hallelujah. You have five senses of discernment, because sometimes there are things you can smell but you can't see it. And thank God for the capacity to smell it. Right? You smell smoke when you shouldn't be smelling smoke. It gives you occasion to begin to investigate where is the smell coming from. Hallelujah. And sometimes it is good that you looked, because you just adverted at a catastrophe. Hallelujah. How much more so, as we have it in the natural, that God wants to impart it to us spiritually. Hallelujah. So that as the people of God come together, there is a capacity to smell.
That's right.
Right? What did God say? Abraham offered a sacrifice and it came up to him as a sweet smelling savor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm not really sorry, but I cannot get away from these simple things that are here, particularly in the door. Hallelujah. It's like layers. Hallelujah. So there's a certain judgment. Okay, now I'm kind of momentarily lost where I was going, but I got it back.
Amen.
The pillars. There's a whole other word there. Hallelujah. The pillar has two business ends. You know what I mean? It has two important ends. The significance of the pillar is very significant. That's deep. Hallelujah. Scripture says, to him that overcometh. Can you finish it for me? Will I make a pillar in the house of my God?
And he will never go out.
Right? Now, when you look at that, that is the sixth statement. Right? There are seven statements. He that overcometh in Revelation. The pillar is the sixth statement. Right? So it's in reference, we can say that it's in reference or in conjunction with the ark. Right? The mercy seat. Mercy seat's the sixth one, right?
Yes.
Right. Hallelujah. There's another thought there, but I don't want to chase that one. So the pillar is something that is integral to the structure of where the pillar is placed, right? Typically, a pillar is put in a certain place because it's integral to the structure. Remove the pillar and you weaken the structure.
Like Samson did,
because it seems as though that particular architecture of that temple was built on two pillars. The whole thing, and it must have been quite a marvel of architecture, of design.
Had to be.
I can't imagine
how they could do that.
The whole thing, standing on two pillars, yet the wisdom and the word of God to Samson. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the pillar, there's a certain thought that I'm trying to convey in the aspect that it's integral to the structure. Right? So if God says, I will make you a pillar, there's something that he wants to do with you and the life that becomes integral to the business of God and the structure that he's made. Hallelujah. And you know, the mercy seat, it works two ways. It works in the way that it's the capacity of God to give mercy. And it also works in the capacity that sometimes God wants you to stand in the gap to ask for mercy for a situation or an individual.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. So, but there's two business ends. The end here that points to the ground, and the aspect of it being anchored, in this case, in the socket of brass. Now, the unique thing about the pillar, and in itself, it does not touch the ground. You know why? Because the socket of brass is an insulation. To prevent the pillar from touching the ground. So there's something of the reality of God to work in our lives that separates us from the earth, even though we're on the earth.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah.
There's a certain element in the aspect of brass and the socket of brass. And you can go into Revelation and it says, when it talks about the candles, the lampstand, the center, when I turned to look and there beheld, in the midst of the seventh lampstand, and it gives you the description, and what? His feet as burnished brass.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's one aspect of the business end of this pillar. There's another end to it, isn't there? It points vertically. Hallelujah. And in the case of this, these pillars set here in the midst of the door, there's something very unique in that, as set vertically and pointing in that vertical capacity. Let's see if I can get five of them here. How many do I got? I got five, right?
Yeah.
See, there's something about the sanctuary itself
that sets it apart from the whole rest of the tabernacle. You know what it is? It's a covering, isn't it? Because in principle, everything else is the same. There's a separation. There's a point of entry. There's different materials in like manner that construct and make up these dimensions. But what sets this thing apart from the outer court is that it is covered.
Amen.
Now, if you go back and you look at Exodus 25, 26, 27, when it talks about making of these coverings, it's talking about fine twine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dye red, and badger skin, right? It gets done talking about those things, and it says, and it shall cover withal that the tabernacle may be one. Hallelujah. To me, there's a statement in that. It's saying that minus the covering, it's the covering that completes and brings the whole building together, that it again becomes one.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. Now, what is the symbolic meaning of the covering over the sanctuary? Let's think about this. You could probably say that. But where did the goat skin come from? Came off of a goat, didn't it? Now, did that goat just say, zip, here you go? They had to take it, didn't they? Do you think it gave it up willingly? Hallelujah. So the principle of the covering is sacrifice, isn't it? Hallelujah. So if we're talking about the church, what are we talking about then? We're talking about the sacrifice on the part of the church through the ages.
Martyr's blood.
Huh?
Martyr's blood.
Martyr's blood.
Stain every page.
Stain every page. Sacrifice on the part of the church in order that the church may continue to grow and come to the purpose for which the church was created in the first place. Hallelujah. So, if this is indicative of sacrifice, and these pillars point in that direction, what is it talking about? Yes. It's pointing to the principle that from this point on forward, there is this governing factor. That sacrifice must be integrated in the aspect of who you are if you want to go on in God.
All of that principle is highlighted in John chapter 17, when he says, "For their sakes I have sanctified
myself." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had another thought, but it kind of flew away. Hallelujah. Oh, I know what it was. Back to Esther. Hallelujah. It dawned on me. Esther had no self-interest.
Yes.
Did you ever realize that?
Yes.
Now, let's look at something. She was not the only one that was culled, can I use that word, from out of the midst of the kingdom and brought to the place of preparation. There were many, many other women, right? Hallelujah. So, how many do you think, given such an opportunity, would have self-interest influencing their way of thinking, how to approach it, right? You know, the Bible says that. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Go, come with me, and I'll close on this. The book of Esther.
I think we're going to go to the second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start in the 13th verse. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. So when their time came of presentation to the king, remember, the king is looking for that particular individual to fulfill the vacancy that Vashti created. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Notice what it says. And whatever she desired, it was given to her. Right? So what do you have there? You have that cognitive ability to reason and to think and to assess as an individual from your own perspective, from your own position of strength, as to what it is that you could do that might enhance your opportunity.
Right.
Self-interest.
Self-interest.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to come down to verse 15. Now then, the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. She required nothing.
Amen.
But what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, you see the difference?
Yes.
She did not trust her own ability to assess, her own line of thinking, but she referred to somebody who what knew the king, who would have known the intricacy of who the king is and what his personality was like. Hallelujah. And relied on that counsel. Right? Relied on that counsel as to whether to take this or to take that or not take this or not take that. Hallelujah. Esther had no self-interest. Hallelujah. Her life was to be yielded as the way it in the manner in which God wanted to use it. Hallelujah. Now all of that was just preparatory work. Hallelujah. Reaching the pinnacle of being appointed as queen, that was just the preparatory work. You understand? Because the real reason, the real job was yet to was yet there down the road. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen.